Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. We have Ellen DeGeneres in the news with her emotional breakdown over a dog that she had adopted and was taken back by the adoption agency. And we also have the pro-life event conference back in Washington, D.C., in which now, obviously, we're not there. Bob Enyart Live is not there. Denver Bible Church is not there. But many who hold the standard we hold were back there, are back there. And there's been a significant debate between the personhood wing of the pro-life movement and National Right to Life. And put on the spot, National Right to Life was asked, well, if it wasn't the right time to fight for personhood 25 years ago, and it's not the right time to fight for personhood today, when will be the right time? And James Bopp, their attorney, estimated in 35 years from now. 35 years from now. And that's, what, another 50 million kids killed by surgical abortions and so on. So there's a lot going on the national front. I've been hearing kudos from people who are thrilled that we got an endorsement for our Focus on the Strategy 2 DVD from the president of a major Baptist seminary, Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, Paige Patterson, and that endorsement is now on our website at kgov.com. And today, speaking with a pro-life leader, significant pro-life leader, we are shipping out 100 Focus on the Strategy 2 DVDs to go out to 72 associate leaders, affiliates of this one leader. I'm not going to mention his name, but this has happened repeatedly. Pro-life leaders getting the DVD, like Missionaries to the Preborn 2 weeks ago, putting out in their newsletter, DVD of the Century. And so the pro-life movement is struggling with this national debate over strategy. 2 years ago, we released our DVD titled Focus on the Strategy, along with a full-page letter 2 years ago to Dr. Dobson, published in the Colorado Springs Gazette. And then this past summer, our second open letter series to Dr. Dobson and published in papers around the country, and with a update, a sequel, Focus on the Strategy 2. So we're real excited about all that. We'll talk about Ellen DeGeneres in a bit, and we'll take your calls. Well, it turns out that the secret is now out with Victoria's Secret. Victoria's Secret, that store. Turns out her secret is now exposed. She has an STD. That was her secret all along. Victoria's Secret, she has the clap. Boy, that's not going to do well for her marketing, I don't think. Okay, what else do we got in the news? Oh, a couple emails. One supportive, positive, the other negative. So I'll do which one first? Good news, bad news. I'll do the supportive one first. Hi, Bob. This is from David from Illinois. Hi, Bob. You make a great case against Ron Paul, but there are loads of issues he's been quoted on or voted on, which show he is very liberal, not just the Libertarian Party that he hails from, but him personally. I found it all on a website called ontheissues.org. Please check it out. It shows every candidate's vote on every major issue and gives great details when you click on the quotes on the top of each issue section. We know where Ron Paul stands on the major issues, but I bet few of the misled conservatives who, for example, think he is against all wasteful government spending know that he actually voted yes to spend $70 million on Section 8 housing vouchers. That's a good point. Ron Paul has been hypocritical in his votes for a long time. In fact, he says that the government should not regulate abortion, and he votes for the partial birth abortion ban. Now, that's a complete contradiction. And he's done things like that in the pro-life area frequently. But here, this is interesting. So According to David from Illinois, and we could check this out, of course, on theissues.org, $70 million Ron Paul voted to spend on Section 8 housing. He received a 67% rating from the ACLU and a 67% approval rating from the National Education Association. And David goes on to say, I would think any Christian would see a rating above zero as a dishonor from either of these godless organizations, the ACLU, that stands for the Antichrist Legions of the Underworld, and the NEA. What is the NEA? National Education Association, National Endowment for the Arts. Whatever the NEA is, it's bad. So thank you, David. Appreciate that. And then this from a guy who's going by the name of Leona in this email. I don't know why, but it's from some guy who's upset with us. He writes, Hi, Bob. I must correct you on an incorrect assumption you continue to make. You assume that those who do not believe in the same God as you do, by the way, there's only one God, and then there are idols. You assume that those who do not believe in the same God as you do, or who do not believe in any God, are immoral and wicked because they don't have the Bible as their rule book. Your assumption is wrong. There are many people who believe in the simple golden rule who are good, honest, caring people who are just too intelligent to believe in the God story. So obviously, this is from an atheist. And this atheist is saying that there are some people who are good, and I would ask him, on what standard? By what standard are they good? Obviously, you have a standard, Mr. Atheist, Leona Atheist. You have a standard, but what is it? Just your own personal preference, I imagine. You approve of the things that you agree with, and you disapprove of the things you disagree with, so you are the standard. But there are a billion people in the world who don't care about your standard, neither do they care about my standard. So in what way can we say that someone is good versus someone else is bad? If overpopulation is the big issue, maybe the Nazis were good on that standard. I mean, the Nazis, Japan, they had a war, 45 million people get killed. That takes a major swipe at overpopulation. Maybe HIV and AIDS is good, kills millions of people. Maybe that's good. If there's no God, and there's no right and wrong. So when you say that there is no God, you destroy the very possibility of there being something like good people or honest people. You destroy the very possibility of that. Okay. So now we have Ellen breaking down, having an emotional breakdown on the air, on TV, and it's over a dog. And God gave us animals to enjoy. I love animals. They're delicious. And I support animal rights, the right to be hunted, killed, cooked, and eaten. But actually, seriously, God gave us animals to enjoy. And he put a soul in animals and a different depth or quality of soul in different animals. You could have a relationship with a pet, with a dog or a cat. You could actually have a relationship and enjoy that animal. Now, I don't think you could have a relationship with a cow. I don't know. I haven't hung around cows all that much. But God made animals differently. He did not put a soul in trees. In plants, he only gave them bodies. Animals, he gave them bodies and souls. And human beings, he gave us bodies, souls, and spirits. And so the depth and the quality of the human soul, and by nature of our spirit, we can have extraordinary and eternal and infinitely meaningful relationships. Whereas animals, we can have relationships with some certain species of animals. And when an animal dies, it's natural, it's human, it's appropriate to be sorry. But one way you could determine, just one small way you can judge if your life is healthy in regard to your relationship with God is how debilitating the death of an animal might be to you, or losing custody of an animal. Ellen DeGeneres lost custody of a dog because she violated the rules for adopting the dog. You know, they're more particular on adopting out dogs than they are children. And they are the, you know, the animal rights group. They're like pet Nazis. You go to adopt a pet, you very well may not qualify. They'll send you and your kids home crying. But in her agreement was that she would not give the dog to anyone else, which is absurd. But anyway, that's the agreement. And so this lesbian violated the terms of that adoption agreement. I've always been against lesbians adopting, by the way. Violated the terms of the adoption agreement and gave the dog away to a family with young kids. And the adoption agency came in and repoed the dog. So the kids are upset, of course, and Ellen DeGeneres is on her TV show, and she's simply fallen apart emotionally, literally broken down in tears, crying over this dog, and the dog being taken away from these kids, and begging the adoption agency to give the dog back. And this is an example of trying to live life apart from God on a human steam and being broken and fully invested in things that you should not be fully invested in. So that if you lose custody of a dog or a dog dies, you go into severe depression. That means there's something missing in your life in the quality of your relationship with your Creator. It's like worshiping the creature rather than the Creator. It's like the creature becomes your idol. Let's go to the phones in Fort Lupton. Jesse, welcome to Bob Inyart Live.
Thank you, Bob. Bob, I just wanted to really thank you for your contributions to society. And, you know, I just get such great pleasure from listening to you and knowing that there's an individual out there in the media who understands the dignity of the human person. Mm-hmm. And especially, I just wanted to thank you in particular on the Ron Paul issue. Mm-hmm. Because unfortunately, I believe a great number of Christians kind of been deceived into thinking that he stands
For a Christian worldview. They think that he stands for a Christian worldview.
Right. And right. And all and is like, you know, you bring out that he's more or less, you know, it's this libertarian view that's a states' rights issue.
Well, libertarian and states' rights on the abortion issue, killing children. But then the Libertarian Party is fundamentally secular humanist. That's what they are. They elevate the human being, the individuality of the human being, above all other considerations. And that's not how God made us. God made us in an authority structure, and right and wrong are determined based on God and the principles that he has revealed to us. And they reject all that in principle.
And I just wanted to also say, you know, I appreciate the way you present the argument, because, you know, so many people are so hung up, like, as you label them, legal positivists, that every law and, you know, all our ethics are supposed to be wrapped up in the Constitution, when in fact, the you know, God's enduring commands, you know, overrule that.
Well, that's right. A constitution, you know, we're one country out of hundreds, and we've been operating for the past 2.5 centuries out of thousands of years of human history. And many conservatives in America and Christians, they seem to think that all of reality and all of right and wrong, all of governmental principles, they all revolve around our particular experience, and they don't. Right and wrong did not change in 1776 or in 1789. Right and wrong didn't change. The principles of government did not change when the Constitution was ratified, nor when we amend it. So a constitution is not inherently invalid, but a constitution is like a side deal, because human beings have an obligation to God to obey him. And then we get together, and whether we're starting a corporation with bylaws and articles, or if we have a country, we have a constitution or a church, and we say, okay, we're going to operate based on these rules, that's a side deal between men, and then there's our relationship with God. And our side deal cannot justly violate the principles that God has laid out for us. And so we should view our Constitution in that context, that whatever is in it that's valid based on divine principles, we should support. Whatever is invalid, we should oppose. But Christians seemingly are unable to think outside of that box. And it's partly the fault of, in the last 20 years, David Barton. David Barton and his Wall Builders ministry. Because it's really neat to look at the Christian foundation of our nation. Just like my family. You know, I like to look at what's good about my family. But it's not good to gloss over what's bad. Because if you do that, you're an enabler. And so there are millions of Christians today who think if you follow the Constitution, you're automatically doing what is good. And that's why the U.S. Supreme Court upheld slavery in the 1850s with Dred Scott.
Right on target, Bob.
So,
well, I
got
to say, thank you for bringing it out to the public. And I listen to you every day, and I appreciate all your contributions.
Well,
to society, and
well, thank you, Jason.
Hopefully you'll be remembered as you know, a voice in the wilderness, so to speak.
Well, we'll see. Jesse, thank you so much for calling.
Thank you, Bob.
May God bless you. And I don't know about be remembered. I'm not going anywhere yet. I mean, I'm working out every morning. We sit down to eat and at a restaurant, and I say to the waiter, I say, well, I think I'm going to have the salad bar. There are too many liberals. I have to outlive them. And, you know, I've said that, I don't know, 50 times to waiters, and they always chuckle over it. I'm waiting for one to get really angry. Hasn't happened yet, though. So there are too many liberals. We have to outlive them. So Ellen DeGeneres, she breaks down, devastated over this relationship with this dog. And on the air, she's begging the adoption agency to put the blame on her. Don't blame the family that she gave the dog to. And please don't, you know, break the contract, the rules that they had with her out of mercy for this dog and his new family, or however. And it's an example of the brokenness in a human being when our relationship with God is non-existent or shallow. That relationship is broken. Then we take things, rather than being fulfilled in the Creator, we look for our fulfillment in creatures. And so some people worship the earth, Gaia and all. They worship trees. They're dirt worshipers. They worship nature. So if you worship nature, you're a dirt worshiper. Or they live to save, what, owls or snail darters or bugs, for that matter. Or the Amazon. They want poor people in Brazil not to grow farms because they worship the Amazon and the rainforest. Whatever happened to the jungle? Can't we talk about the jungle anymore? I'd like to talk about the jungle. Bring back the jungle. So the battle that we're fighting is a spiritual battle ultimately, and many Christians get super discouraged, and I'm thankful that the discouragement that comes over me over the years, I've been on the show for 16 years, it's generally pretty mild. I mean, it's normal. You see people destroying their lives. You see people trying to destroy others, especially children, like in Maine with this middle school giving now birth control prescriptions to girls in middle school, ages, 11 through 13. And your heart goes out to the children whose lives are destroyed, and there's an anger and righteous indignation toward the people who are harming these kids. And kids today are almost systematically in the public schools, young girls are turned into sexual tramps. They're turned into tramps. And for the life of me, I don't understand the Christian father who allows his daughter to go to public schools. Just don't understand that. It's wrong. You know, a lot of parents have been tricked by the salt and light routine. Oh, we need to send our kids to a godless education system so they will be salt and light. And then when their kid is uninterested in God and just running with the bad crowd and obviously a negative influence at the school, what, they still go by the salt and light routine? What's with that? If you were sending your kid to do something you don't do, most adult Christians are not missionaries at work or to their neighbors, so they send their children off to be missionaries to a godless system that will chew them up and spit them out. And then if that's the goal, if you have little missionaries, you're not even paying them to go, just sending them off with no support, just go ahead, you're now a full-time missionary working for our church. We're sacrificing you to the gods of public education. And so then if your child is not winning souls, and in fact is basically what we'd call backslidden, then of course if it was salt and light that was the reason, all those Christian parents by the, millions, would pull their kids out of the public schools because the whole salt and light routine wasn't working. Their kid wasn't witnessing to anybody. They're being a bad example of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But no, there's a different reason why Christian parents send their kids to godless public schools. And so if you're one of them, if you're a father who sends his daughter to a godless public school, you can pray and ask God to help you find the courage, the wisdom, the strength, and the finances to protect your child. That's your role as her father. Now, this all applies to sons, too, but especially to daughters. And it applies completely to sons. But as a father sending his daughter where he knows that she will be the object of sexual jokes and she'll be asked for sexual favors, how many times? I mean, if it happened once in corporate America, if it happened at Google's headquarters, it happened once, it'd be a federal case. But you send your 11, 12, 13-year-old daughter off to school, and how many times is she asked for sex in a school year? How many times? Or how many times is she made fun of her body by the guys in the school? Or how many times does some pervert teacher overhear some kid talking about having sex with your daughter, and he looks the other way and smirks? How many times? How much do you put your daughter through? So we conservative Christians, we're up against a lot, but God has given us this opportunity and this freedom. And if I could click my fingers and have the Lord return right now, would I do that? Well, I was on the air 16 years ago, and if I would have done it then, this is very selfish of me, but we would not have had Zachary, Michael, and Dominic going to eternity to enjoy the Lord with us. So I'm glad the Lord didn't come back 16 years ago. And there are countless other people who come to the Lord, who are conceived in the womb every day. And so God is patient. God is merciful. And so that should help minimize discouragement. Who has time to be discouraged when there are so many lives at stake, so many hearts, so many human souls that need to be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ? So we just press on. We press on, and we have a grand old time. And, of course, sometimes you suffer and mourn because of the consequences of sin, but there's a great opportunity to rejoice also in the Christian life. Our church, Denver Bible Church, we meet in Arvada, Colorado, at 72nd and Oak. There's a big Christian school there, Maranatha Christian Center, about, 600 kids. And the founders and administrators of Maranatha have been members of our church for many years. And so a couple of years ago, they asked us if we'd like to move our church onto their property. And we do that. So if you have a church and it's meeting your spiritual needs and you're growing and you're reaching out to others and your church and you are making a good impact on society, then praise God and keep going there. If you're not going to church, if you're unhappy, if you're not growing, if you're stagnant in your Christian life, then you could come and join us. Now, this Sunday, well, this is not going to be a normal Sunday at Denver Bible Church. It's not for the faint of heart. So you might want to come next Sunday. But if you come this Sunday, you have to get there by 9:30 for Sunday school. Or by 10:30 at the very, no, 9:30 really, got to be there by 9:30. So maybe next Sunday would be a better time to come and visit Denver Bible Church. Of course, you're welcome to do that. And our website is KGOV.com, KGOV.com. And please pray for that pro-life leader who is sending out our DVDs to so many other leaders. It's exciting. So may God bless you.